Turn to the book of Job, Job chapter 9. One portion of one particular verse that I want to call your attention to that proposes a question that I'd like for us to consider tonight. I guess if you could examine the Word of God or mankind in general and try to determine what it would take for us to be prosperous if there was one particular principle that was timeless, that would go all the way back to the beginning of man and carry us all the way to the end of mankind, if we could examine and find and determine a principle that was universal, applicable to each of us in every generation, I suppose it would be this particular principle that I'd like for us to consider tonight. This verse that we're about to read is in response, or Job's response to the Shuhite, Bildad. And he says, notice in verse 4, just the latter part. I'll read the entire verse, but I want us to pay close attention to the latter part of verse 4 in the ninth chapter of Job for consideration tonight. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? In other words, Job asked the question, show me somebody who has hardened themselves against God and prospered. Is there anybody at any time that has ever hardened themselves against God and prospered? Of course, the response to that is obvious. No, absolutely not. And perhaps we have failed to realize and we don't consider just how important it is for our hearts to be right in the sight of God. We don't understand, and our society doesn't proclaim. It isn't in the newspaper, in the media. The only place you'll find this is a gospel church, a Holy Spirit-filled church, a sound church, where they'll tell you of the horrors of a haughty heart. I read an article one time, I think it was published in London. They said that in this article, they were talking about people who were prosperous and people who were successful and how to choose leaders for a country or a company. And they said the best way to choose them is to choose the one that has the pear-shaped head. They called it a burgundy bottle head. And so they determined that these particular people that have these certain shaped heads were more prosperous. They were more successful. They were more intelligent. Now, I don't know where the world comes up with this garbage. I heard that Potato Head called the ACLU and complained and claimed that there was discrimination going on. But that was a joke. You can laugh. Not a good one, perhaps. But your appearance really doesn't determine whether or not you are a prosperous, successful person. John was writing to the people of God in 3 John, chapter 2 or 3. There's only one chapter in 3 John. And he said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. John, the apostle, he desired that they were prosperous. He wanted the people of God, the beloved of God, to be prosperous. And I would hope that each one of us would desire to be prosperous as the Scriptures teach prosperity. Now, I'm not going to give you 5 points of prosperity tonight. If you want that, you'll just have to go down to the other church down the road and get 5 points of prosperity. But the kind of prosperity that I'm talking about is spiritual prosperity. The Bible talks about riches, and of course, a lot of people think as long as you're wealthy, you have a lot of money, then you're prosperous. Paul would write to young minister Timothy and tell us that people that are rich many times are pierced through with many sorrows. Actually, a little later in his epistle to the young minister Timothy, he would tell him that woe unto those that are rich. They're full of sorrow. And don't be deceived. A lot of people that have a lot of money aren't necessarily happy. Most of them aren't happy. They know nothing about true joy. And it's a facade. It's hypocrisy to some degree. They set forth the appearance of happiness and prosperity. But unless your soul prospers, you are not prosperous. John made that very clear, that it must start with the very heart of man. The Bible tells us that there's a problem with our heart. One of the reasons that we're not prosperous is that we're prone to be hard-hearted. People, that's a problem. Hard-heartedness today is rampant. It's not just in the hearts of those that are of the world, or those that are lost, or those that are committing some hideous sin. Even God's people have grown hard-hearted. And I guess the greatest fear that I have is to see people hard-hearted. For those are the most difficult people to reach with the truth. Hard-hearted people just don't embrace the truth. They normally reject the truth. And so here in the book of Job, it tells us that if we set ourselves up against God, if we oppose God in any way, if we become hard, whether in our hearts or in our minds, we will not prosper. Your home will not prosper. Your occupation will not prosper. I know the church will not prosper. And you as a Christian will not prosper if you set yourself against God, if you harden yourself against Him. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, "He being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And I believe what Solomon was saying in that proverb. If we stiffen our neck, if we harden ourselves against the truth, if we resist God's word and His Spirit, we will not only not prosper, but sudden destruction will be upon us. And there's no remedy for a hardened heart. Let's notice in these particular passages of Scripture, and consider just a little while tonight, what it is that causes us to be hard-hearted. I suppose we could say that the world is the cause of hard-heartedness. We could probably say the media has produced a lot of hard-heartedness in not only sinners, but also in saints. We might just say the hustle and bustle of life, or the circumstances of life, or depravity in general just causes us to be hard-hearted. Well, in a way, that's true. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9, 10, and 11. We read in those passages that it is the heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Bible tells us in verse 10 that the Lord pondereth, He searcheth the reins of a man's heart. And He finds out who you are and what you are by examining the core of your being. So the heart, I believe that can be the palace of the devil. You can allow the devil to rule and reign in your heart. And every one of us that's been saved, we at times have given in to our depravity. And when the devil reigns and rules in our hearts, we have developed hard hearts. And when we have hard hearts, we will not prosper. When we don't examine our lives from time to time and see if there's a drift in any way toward the things of the devil rather than the things of God, if we never examine our lives according to the Word of God, if we don't compare our lives to the Word of God, we could have a hard heart and not even know it. And that's happened from time to time in many Christians' lives. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, and I think it rings true today, they were failing to examine themselves. The Bible teaches us to examine ourselves. It teaches us to examine ourselves to see if we're really in the faith. And there are times we need to take inventory of our lives and determine whether or not we are truly close to God. Jesus said people in that day, in Matthew 15:8, if you'd like to look there, that people were drawing near unto God with their mouths, but what was happening? Their hearts were far from Him. Those that perhaps make a profession of spiritual things, those who speak good things, who have a religious language about them, know all the words to say in a religious setting. Those that not only know all the words, but also talk a good talk, but don't walk a good walk. Jesus said they would profess with their mouth, but their heart would be far from Him. We have that occurring today. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but people that are deceived have very hard hearts and shall not prosper. So our hearts, the seed of depravity, the seed of carnality and enmity between us and God, that part of us that is not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be, can become very, very hard. Our lives, as we examine them, we need to determine whether we've grown hard-hearted. Once a person begins to harden themselves against the things of God, there's a progressive evil that occurs. They many times go from vice to vice, from sin to sin. Listen, you turn from God and your life, not only your life here, but also your life in eternity will end in despair. Seems like whatever we do apart from God does not prosper. Do you believe that tonight? If you want to be a tree planted by the rivers of life, you must do the will of God. If you want your life to be a prosperous life, a productive life, a blessed life, then don't resist the Almighty. There's an increasing indifference toward the things of God when our hearts start to harden. There's no fear before people's eyes when their hearts grow hard. God apparently is not in their thoughts. They don't think about God or consider the ways of God when their hearts are hard. There's an effect caused by the hardness of oneself. Who hath hardened himself against the Almighty and prospered? That's what I want us to consider tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. I'll take that back. Why don't we turn to the 10th chapter of Mark for just, let's stop there just for a moment. I've counseled many people that have had marital problems, gone through divorce. Do you know why, in every single case, the cause of divorce is hard-heartedness? Jesus made it very clear. There in the 10th chapter of Mark, you can read this on the other account where it's given to us, but I just want us to notice just a few minutes. Jesus, when he was preaching, he was so emphatic and so dogmatic about the home, about the true design, the way God had established it, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they thought they could trap him and find a contradiction in the things that Jesus was preaching and teaching and the things that Moses did. Well, you can see that in this particular passage. It's really clear in verse 2. The Pharisees came to him asking him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" And what were they doing? They were tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Well, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorce and to put her away." And Jesus answered and said unto them, notice his answer, "For the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept." The hardness of your heart brought about this precept. And in every case, in every situation, and I realize a lot of people read these passages and they've skipped over some very important teaching of Jesus Christ. Here recently, I was counseling a married couple, and I just, you know, made it real clear. You have no biblical or scriptural grounds for the divorce. Work this thing out. Swallow your foolish pride. In every case, when we have marital problems, somebody has a hard heart. And in most cases, both the husband and the wife has a hard heart. And some of the things that were transpiring in that day, God offset by allowing Moses to write a right of divorce. And actually what he did is he made it more difficult for them to separate and more difficult for them to get a divorce. Actually, I think he gave them a writing of divorce so that there might be some time given to reconciliation. Actually, there was the writing of divorce. My belief is that Moses was actually implementing a counseling setting for the couples that were having difficulty, that they might have time to consider the matter, that they would have to give a writing, they'd have to sit down and they would have to deliberate and look at this matter and examine exactly what they are doing. And actually we see some of the cures for hardened hearts. When hardness is set in, we need to spend some time in self-examination. We need to listen to good counsel and on how to overcome a hardened heart. I am convinced that when they had to sit down with the scribes, and I believe the scribes of that particular day were learned men, spiritual men, they had to sit down with spiritual men and they had to consider this matter, that there might be opportunity for reconciliation. Tonight, we must consider our own hearts and examine them and see if there's some hardness there. We need to listen to good counsel. It's important for us to listen to good counsel, to consider and examine what we're doing and why we're doing it. We need to consider the writings of God's holy word in comparison to our hearts. These passages will tell us that marriage is an honorable thing. God designed it. God created it. He never intended for us to get a divorce. Just did. And through the hardness of their hearts, Moses gave a permission, and that's just it. Anyone that seeks to get a divorce, they are admitting that they have a hardened heart. When they sat down to get a writing of divorce, it was admission that their hearts were hardened. Sometimes we need to do just that. Sometimes we need to admit that our hearts have become hard. Have you ever done that? Have you ever sensed that? If you haven't, then you probably are very, very hard-hearted. Usually it's those that don't think they need any help are the ones that need the help the most. Those who don't think their heart can become hard are those that are so hard that they don't even realize the state they're in. Let's look in Hebrews. I was going to go there just for a few minutes. Chapter 3. Here in these particular passages of Scripture, there are four periods to consider. We talked about, just for a moment, that Job, perhaps that's the first book of the Bible that was written, goes back to the very beginnings of time. And we considered that it was a precedented, obvious, universal principle that anyone that hardens themselves against God, they shall not prosper. And the Hebrew writer takes up the same thought with regard to this passage. And he talked about the people of Israel, how that they had hardened their hearts against God and how that they did not enter into the land of Canaan. They didn't enter into the place of rest because of a hardened heart of unbelief. That's one period that the Hebrew writer considers in this particular passage of Scripture. Notice in chapter 3, just for a moment. There's a couple other things that he brings to our attention in these passages. He also told us that in the psalmist's day, notice in verse 7, let's notice, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost has said, today, now he said that in the book of Psalms, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of bitterness. In other words, if you want God bitterly opposed to you, you want God's wrath against you, all you have to simply do is ignore him and harden your heart, and he will be in opposition to you. He will be in bitterness against you. That's what happened to the people of Israel. The psalmist, the Holy Ghost, said to the people in the days of the psalmist, and that's important for us to consider. That's in Psalms 95 and 7. That the people in the days of David were told of the Holy Ghost not to harden their hearts, but to listen to the voice of the Lord. He said the people of Israel, they did harden their hearts in the wilderness when they were tempted. In the wilderness for 40 years. And there's a whole generation that was grieved. Notice verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, Why do always err in their hearts? And they have not known my ways. So I swear by my wrath, they shall not enter into rest. Take heed, brethren. All right. So the Hebrew writer talks about how it was in the days of Israel when they were in the wilderness. He talks about the psalmist, the Holy Ghost talking to the people in the days of David. Then he comes along to a third group, the people in the first century, the early church. And he says, brethren, you need to take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In other words, he not only says that there are people that hardened their heart in the wilderness, didn't enter into rest. There were people in David's day, King David's day in the Psalms, where we read that they were hardening their hearts. And then he writes to the early church and says, church, you need to be careful. You need to take heed lest you find yourself with a hardened heart. Most of the churches that fail to prosper nowadays are the result of a hardened heart. Listen, in these passages, he was not talking to sinners. Look in verse 1. Who does he consider in this particular passage? Holy brethren. Wherefore, holy brethren? What kind of holy brethren? Those that were partakers of the heavenly calling. He was talking to saved people. Get your heart right. Be careful lest you also set yourself against God, harden yourself against Him, because every Christian that sets themselves against God and hardens their heart, they will not prosper. And the generations of Christianity that have failed to prosper, you can attribute, you can link it to those who have hardened themselves against God. What does that mean? Well, in these particular passages of Scripture, he tells us that we need to listen to the voice of God. God speaks to us in many ways. One way he speaks to us is through his holy word. Amen? God has spoken to us by the inerrant, holy word of God. We ought to conform our lives to it. We ought to listen to it, and we ought to do it. Not just be hearers of the word, but we should be doers of the word. Not only that, but he speaks to us through his messengers, through his ministers, through his preachers. There are times in our lives where God sends a message to his people through the pastor. Seven churches of Asia, good example, huh? Right there, it's very clear. Those angels, which were not really angels, we think angels, they were messengers, they were pastors. They were to preach to those churches concerning those things that were contradictory to the teachings of Jesus Christ, those things that were going on in those churches that dishonored him. There were things that were going on that were good, but he warned them about their hardness where they would actually put Jesus on the outside, and Jesus was standing at the door and knocking, wanting in to his own church. So, we're talking about church people. I'm going to give you a theory concerning the prosperity of Christianity in this century. The prosperity of Christianity in this century will be determined by the humbleness of the people of God. God has always honored humbleness. I mean, he saveth such as of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Not a hard-hearted person, but he saves and delivers and helps and draws nigh to those that are what? Humble. Humble. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Amen? Isn't that what James said? So, our prosperity, the advancement of the cause of Jesus Christ in our generation will be determined by our humility. Not how much money we've got or how big a buildings we can build, but it will be determined by our surrenderance and our yielding to God. He warns these people about this hardening process. And actually the word hardening in the Greek, if you look it up, it's a process. It's an ongoing, it's a process. You know, you just don't suddenly become a hard-hearted person. It just slowly develops in your life. I remember Brother Vanderpool at Old Union Ministry School one year gave the illustration, if I remember correctly, about the sun and the heat of the sun and how that it shines upon moist soil. And as the rays of heat come upon the moist soil, it turns it hard. By the same token, that if it shines upon an ice cube, I think it was his illustration, that ice cube will melt. And as we read the Word of God, and as we hear the preaching, and there's other ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through providence. He speaks to us through our friends. He can speak to us through other brothers and sisters. And He speaks to us by His Holy Spirit. But if we resist, it starts a process of either yielding or resisting. It starts a process of either melting or hardening. In other words, you can read the Word of God and just, you know, there's a lot of people that they they like you as a preacher till you say something they don't like. They like you as a pastor until you step on their toes a little bit. They don't like you as a pastor anymore. Oh, man, you go to a church and first 6 months to a year, oh, we just love you. Until they hear something they don't like. You know, and sometimes we're like that with the Word of God, aren't we? We'll read something from the Word of God, it kind of convicts us, and we want to tear that page out. You know, we want to ignore that part. We want to explain away that principle. We want to say it only occurred in the Old Testament, or it only applies to that people back there in the first century. But listen, the Word of God is applicable and applicable to your life today. Amen. Every word of it can be used for the advancement of your heart. Amen. Whether we harden or whether we soften ourselves is an individual determination that we make. But he says in these passages, and let's just look at them a little closer. He tells us to take heed. Calls us brethren again in verse 12. Lest we find within ourselves a hardened heart. I think that all begins by an erring. Notice in verse 10. He says they do err in their heart. Another thing we notice in verse 10. That kind of attributes to or leads up to the process of our hearts becoming hard. He says, they have not known my way. In verse 12, he says, the problem is that they depart from the living God. They have an evil heart of unbelief. And then he exhorts them to one another. But exhort one another. He exhorts them to exhort one another every month. Once a year. How often are you to caution your brother about their hearts becoming hardened? How often do you need somebody to caution you, to warn you, to alarm you? to talk to you, to counsel you. Once again, one of the cures for a hardened heart, as we find in the writings of the divorce that Moses implemented. In Hebrews, he says, we need to offset this. We need counseling. We need to consider one another and talk with one another and admonish one another and warn one another and watch over one another. Every 5 years, 10 years? No, every day. Daily. Daily, each one of us are in danger of developing a hardened heart. And losing the prosperity, the spiritual blessings that God wants to send our way in our homes, in our lives, and in our churches. I don't know about you, but man, that scares me a little bit. Doesn't it you? That I have the potential to develop a hardened heart? Tomorrow? Today? The next day? Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I wish I had more time. I would talk to you a little about sin dragging us into a hardened place. Sin is always deceitful. It always lies to you. Amen. It's always deceitful. In every way, shape, and form, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you there longer than you want to stay, and cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. It'll deceive you. You think it's one way when it's another. You think it might bring some pleasure or some good in your life for a season, but it's going to bring you despair and destruction. Stay away from it. It will harden your heart. I'll tell you how hard some people have gotten. And this is exactly the way I believe it. I've seen it in my life. That if Jesus Christ Himself in the flesh told them they needed to do something, they wouldn't do it. Well, actually, the Bible says, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we stand here in Christ's stead. As though Jesus Himself is pleading with you to make reconciliation. I'd put together a few things about how to discover whether you have a hardened heart. Perhaps this study has gotten a lot bigger than I intended and expanded this message a lot farther than I want to go or the Lord wants me to go. But some of you have changed. Not for the good, but for the worst. And that change is a hardened heart. You know something? We many times are worried about our kids falling into some vice. We're worried about our grandkids, you know, becoming drunkards or becoming addicted to drugs or pornography or some other vice of the world. We're worried about that. But you know, those people are more easily reached with the saving work of Jesus Christ than somebody with a hardened heart. You think about that. We no longer fear having a hardened heart. And the Bible's clear. It's a universal principle. It's concrete and established. It's concretely established in every century of time. Anyone, no matter who they are, whether a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, no matter who they are, you harden yourself against God and you will not prosper. Mark it down. Tonight, God is speaking to somebody. I'll be honest with you. There are clear signs whether or not somebody has a soft heart or hard heart. Where God speaks so clearly to us and we resist that, whether it's through His written word, through the preaching, through providence, through the Holy Spirit, any of those, they all count. The moment you do not heed the message, you're hardened. The very moment you resist and do not hearken unto the voice of the Lord to obey it and to do it, you get a little harder. A little harder. A little harder. How hard are you going to become? Anyone that hardens himself against the Almighty will not prosper. You just won't. So what do I need to do, preacher? Well, the Word of God tells you there's several things you need to do. But the most important thing for you to do is to humble yourself. That's the first step toward eliminating hardness. Now, I'll be honest with you. God's people need to be a humble people. We ought to be humble. We ought to be humble and forgiving and meek like our Savior was. We ought to live like Him and act like Him and do like Him. And perhaps we don't expect that, and we probably shouldn't. And it won't happen. We won't expect people of the world to be humble or meek like our Savior. They're not Christian, but you are. And anyone that wants to become a Christian, be saved, be part of the Lord's church, they always enter through the threshold of humbleness. Hardness? Well, that's one thing that every person in hell has in common. One thing every person in hell has in common is that they had hardened themselves against the Almighty, and obviously those in hell have not prospered. We're going to sing a song. I ask you tonight to examine yourself. Are you really willing to do whatever God calls on you to do? I was thinking about my own heart. I mean, I believe if you preach something, you need to try to live it. I thought of, you know, whether my heart is as humble as it's always been. You ever go back over your life and see if you're, you know, do a check, an evaluation? Am I as humble as I was 25 years ago? Have there been times in my life I was more humble? Tonight, if you are not saved, we'll give you the invitation. But it all begins with humbleness. You need to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. God is closest to those that are humble. Those that humble themselves find the Lord, come to know the Lord, for He is the high and lofty one that inhabiteth all of eternity, and He dwelleth with the humble, the broken, the contrite in spirit. As we stand and sing, would you come? Is there somebody here tonight?